I invite you to stand as you're able for the hearing of this morning's gospel, which comes from the gospel, according to Luke, reading from the 13th chapter. Now, Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and just then there appeared a woman with a spirit that had crippled her for 18 years. She was bent over and was quite unable to stand up straight. When Jesus saw her, he called her over and said, "Woman, you are set free from your ailment." When he had laid his hands on her, immediately she stood up straight and began praising God. But the leader of the synagogue, indignant because Jesus had cured on the Sabbath, kept saying to the crowd, "There are 6 days on which work ought to be done. Come on those days and be cured, and not on the Sabbath day." But the Lord answered him and said, "You hypocrites, does not each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or his donkey from the manger and lead it away to give it water? And ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan bound for 18 long years, be set free from this bondage on the Sabbath day?" When Jesus had said this, all his opponents were put to shame, and the entire crowd was rejoicing at all the wonderful things that Jesus was doing. This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. Amen. You may be seated. I invite you to join your hearts with mine for a moment of prayer. A holy and loving God, we thank you so much for this Sabbath day that you've called us together to worship you. We thank you for the gift of your holy word and for the opportunity for your word to be proclaimed. And I ask, oh God, that you would be present in the thoughts of our minds, in the meditation of our hearts, but especially, O Lord, in the words of my mouth, that they would be acceptable to you and continue to bring glory to your holy name. You, O Lord, who are our rock and our redeemer, our savior and our friend. Amen. The Greyhound bus line had rules. There were no pets allowed on their buses. No pets were allowed on their buses. And so late one night at a rural truck stop in Florida, a Greyhound driver kicked an 80-year-old woman off his bus. Her crime? She was returning home from a birthday party where her present was a tiny puppy named Cookie. That story appeared in the Associated Press newspapers last November. Dogs aren't allowed on Greyhound buses, and the driver refused to make an exception, leaving this poor elderly woman about 80 miles from home at 3 a.m. in the morning. Can't you just hear that bus driver justifying his actions? We have rules. We have rules. A security guard was summoned by the bus driver, and he called the sheriff's department to escort her away, adding to this poor woman's fright. "When the bus pulled over and I saw all those policemen, I was scared to death," she said. "I thought they were going to take me to jail. I don't know, I was just crazy with fear. I've never gone to jail." What could have quickly become a terrifying ordeal for this woman, who walks with a crutch and has trouble hearing and seeing, instead truly became an inspiration. After getting her a sandwich and something to drink, police from 5 different jurisdictions teamed up to ferry her home. "I've never seen so many people so nice with me, an old lady," she said. "They gave me love, respect, attention. Love has a lot of names," she continued. "Compassion, respect, friendliness." Greyhound apologized and gave her a refund. The unidentified driver, a 20-year Greyhound veteran, was suspended. Greyhound had rules. Greyhound had rules. In the story from the Gospel of Luke this morning, we see that the religious leaders of Jesus' day had rules as well. No work. No work at all on the Sabbath. The Sabbath was to truly be a day of rest, and no work was to be done. Jesus, as we heard in the Gospel of Luke, broke that rule. He broke that law. A woman who had been crippled for 18 years, severely bent over, comes into the synagogue as Jesus has finished teaching. She does not ask him for healing. She does not even speak to him. Yet she catches Jesus' eye and catches Jesus' compassion. And he walks over to her, he touches her, and immediately she's healed and she's able to stand up straight. She no longer has that burden of that physical predicament that she has been suffering with for 18 years. Jesus, with a simple touch of the hand, has healed her, and she praises God for that wonderful gift, for that wonderful gift. In fact, Jesus has broken many laws, not just the Sabbath law. He's dared to touch a woman, which would make him ritually unclean, but that does not for a moment deter him. He touches that woman and heals her from all that has been ailing her for practically half of her life or more. Jesus dares to break the rules. Jesus has a greater rule. Jesus is saying that there is a rule of love is greater than the Sabbath rules. Now, not everyone was excited about this woman being restored to full health. As you heard in that story, the leader of the synagogue is indignant. He's incensed. How in the world could Jesus so blatantly break a rule in front of the crowds? How could he dare to do that? In fact, it was a synagogue leader's job to keep the rules, to maintain the traditions. He was doing his job, and how could Jesus dare to be an affront to his responsibilities? Jesus dared to break the rules. The synagogue leader did not speak directly to Jesus, probably because he knows that nothing he could say could keep Jesus from doing what Jesus was doing. But he speaks to the crowds. Perhaps that synagogue leader is hopeful that the crowds will not follow Jesus' example and they won't start breaking the Sabbath rules. So he speaks to the crowd, and then Jesus responds to the synagogue leader. Jesus makes clear that there's a difference between being slaves to the letter of the law and understanding the spirit and the intent of the law. Jesus comes to encourage the crowds, encourage folks to follow that new rule, that new commandment. Remember, Jesus gave them two commandments to follow. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. It was the rule of love. It was the rule of love. Jesus came to interpret the law in a new way. The law of love, and that love would never let someone in need be required to wait till the next day, be required to even wait a couple hours for the healing that they needed. Jesus released that woman from the burden that she was carrying, and it was at that moment, regardless of the Sabbath rule. Jesus removed a burden, and he removed it not only from that bent-over woman, but perhaps as well he helped all of those crowds to realize what a burden the law was on them. In the Ten Commandments, Moses says to keep the Sabbath day holy. Keep the Sabbath day holy. And in order for the people to understand what that meant, over the years, 516 laws had been added to that commandment. It was next to impossible to follow the letter of the law. So perhaps Jesus was helping to lift the people away from that burden of the law. In Paul's letters, he's constantly reminding the people that it's the law of love, not the letter of the law, that saves us. It's God's grace. It's Jesus giving his life and death for us that removes that burden of sin and the burden of the law. Jesus, in one swift moment, touches that woman and breaks the Sabbath law and reminds us of the importance of the law of love. Roland read one of my favorite scriptures this morning, Hebrews 12:1. Since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us also set aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us. Jesus had always been in the race. Jesus was always persevering. Jesus endured the cross and the shame of the cross so that he could continue to be the pioneer and the perfecter, so that he could be the one to lead us in the race. He didn't expect us to run a race that he had not already run. Jesus ran the race before us. He leads the way. He's always there to be our example. He's always there to take the lead. In the first part of that scripture from Hebrews that Roland read, there's a long litany of people who have already run the race with perseverance. Last week, we talked about Abraham and Sarah being those who have walked by faith and not by sight. And in this morning's reading, we hear about the people who followed Moses through the Red Sea after God had parted the waters. And we hear that there were those who marched with Joshua around the walls of Jericho before those walls came tumbling down. They took that step of faith to step out into that Red Sea and to march around Jericho. Rahab the prostitute had helped those spies, and so she gained life and not death by her faithful actions. And she was not even an Israelite. She was of Jericho. The list goes on, and the list lifts people who were mighty warriors, people who had won battles by faith in God, people who were prophets, people who had led the people of Israel. And then as he has this litany of those who have been faithful in the faith, those who have endured, those who have persevered, he moves on to those who were persecuted. Those who were persecuted for their faith, who lost their lives, who became martyrs for the faith. And he leaves that list open-ended so the people that hear this letter from the Hebrews can find their place in it. For this letter is first heard by demoralized Christians who are starting to lose their faith. They have given up hope, and they are reminded that God who was with their ancestors is the same God that was with the martyrs, the same God that is with them today, the same God that would be with them always through the Holy Spirit and through Jesus Christ. It's faith in God that gives us what we need to run the race with perseverance. It's faith that will encourage us to get rid of the burdens, the sins that weigh us down and keep us from running the best possible race. It's faith that convinces and convicts us to follow Jesus who always has the lead. Jesus, in the Gospel of Luke, removed the woman's burden, and she could go on as part of a community of faith. She could walk straight, standing straight up. She could praise the Lord. She no longer only saw the ground, she saw the heavens. Jesus removed that woman's burden, and Jesus can help us to remove the burdens that slow us down. There are so many things that cling so tightly to us. They're not the sins probably that you would think of first, like robbing and stealing and lying and murder, but there are sins of anger. There's sins of greed, sins of pride, sins of too many possessions that weigh us down. There's the sin of truly forgetting that God is first. There's the sin of thinking less of ourselves than the children of God that we've been created to be. There is a whole litany, a whole list of sins that weigh us down and that truly keep us from understanding that God is able to make all things new. Through Jesus Christ, we are made new. We are redeemed. We don't need to carry those burdens. We don't have to have that excess baggage. We can leave it all behind, and we can help others to leave those burdens behind as well. We can encourage others on their journey. We can remind others that Jesus truly can remove the burdens and the baggage in our lives. We can take it all to Jesus, and we can remind others that they can do the same thing. Why do we continue to carry excess baggage when Jesus has asked us to run the race with perseverance and to leave all of that behind? Why would we continue to struggle to run weighed down by those burdens? This past week, I had an opportunity to have a two-day continuing education event, and it was the Global Leadership Summit that's hosted by Bill Hybels. And it was simulcast at Montoursville, so I didn't have to travel too far in order to hear some excellent speakers. But one of the presentations in this continuing education event was talking about expanding your leadership reach. Expanding your leadership reach. And he said that there's three things that anyone needs to do to expand their leadership reach. One is to enlarge your vision. Enlarge your vision. Too often, what we would have for a vision for ourselves and for our congregation is too small. It's about maintenance rather than multiplication. If we want to be leaders in the community, leaders that point others to Christ, we need to have a larger vision. It's not just about maintaining what we have. It's about multiplying what we can offer. His second point was that our job is to empower people, to be in relationship with others, relationships with one another in our congregation, relationships with folks in the community, to walk with them, to lead alongside them, to allow them to help set the goals and strategies for who we are, to help them run the race. And then the third point was the one that really hit home for me, and it was about embracing risk. If you want to expand your leadership potential, you need to embrace risk. How many of us are willing to embrace risk? I saw a hand in the back. I saw two hands, all right. The presenter said that risk is a friend to love, not an enemy to fear. Risk is a friend to love and not an enemy to fear. That we can't allow comfort and safety to shape us. We need to increase our pain threshold. Now that one really hurt when he said that. We need to increase our pain threshold, no pun intended. But in order to persevere and endure in our position as Christians in the world today, we have to be able to endure, to persevere. And that should mean not comfort and security, but a little pain and a little pressure. And then he said that we can't procrastinate. We can't have regrets that we did not do enough. We can't procrastinate. And when I thought about these words from Hebrews, I thought, we cannot procrastinate running the race that Jesus has set before us. We can't wait. There's an urgency in our world today for people to know Christ, to know grace, to know the law of love. We can't procrastinate. There's an urgency, and hopefully we won't have regrets. In 2 Timothy, we hear these words. God has not given us a spirit of cowardice, a spirit of fear, but rather a spirit of power, a spirit of love, and a spirit of self-discipline. So I would say to you today, and I would say to myself, take a risk or two. Be bold to remove the burdens that slow you down, and dare to help others to remove their burdens. Strive to live by the letter of the law of love and grace. And that might mean breaking some other rules. Together, let us run the race that has been set before us, following the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, following Jesus, Jesus who truly dared to take a risk, Jesus who was not afraid to break a rule or two, Jesus was not afraid to really live out the law of love so that others would know and hope to join him on the journey, that others might find the kingdom of God. Follow Jesus all the way to the finish line, and we'll know the prize, the crown of Christ. Amen.